WHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media.
CBS News Brief. The vice president's campaign has launched a $50 million ad blitz in battleground states ahead of the Democratic National Convention.
The one thing Kamala Harris has always been, fearless.
The acting head of the Secret Service will be front and center on Capitol Hill next hour, answering lawmakers' questions about security failures ahead of the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. The agency's former deputy director, A.T. Smith.
There were multiple opportunities for this individual to be encountered by law enforcement.
Outrage growing in Venezuela, where the opposition says it has proof of a landslide victory in the presidential election, despite the incumbent's victory claim. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
Thousands of demonstrators across the country protested what they say was an attempt by President Nicolas Maduro to steal the country's presidential election. We were there as a brawl erupted in the capital, in Caracas.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Scientists in Wisconsin are testing a possible new treatment for Parkinson's disease. UW-Madison doctors say brain grafts in monkeys have shown promising results. They say motor skills improved and symptoms of anxiety and depression were reduced. Wisconsin Democrats are calling the latest attempt to amend the state constitution a Republican power grab. Governor Evers says people should vote no on the two questions. They'd require lawmakers' approval when governors move to spend money from Washington. Evers says it would have been bad during the pandemic.
The Republicans took a 300-day vacation during the pandemic, didn't come into session. So what would I have done during that time? Nothing. I could not have responded with the money that was there.
The fall primary is August 13th. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. You can register your kids now for Stuff at the Desk. The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties leads this collaborative community initiative to make sure that every student has the supplies that they need to learn and succeed in school. All families with financial need are eligible to receive free school supplies. To participate, parents or guardians must register by Thursday, August 1st at uwswac.org. And from there, you just click on the Stuff at the Desk banner. You can also call 211 Monday through Friday between 8 and 5. School supplies will be distributed on August 16th and 17th at East Junior High School. And when you register, you can pick your time slot, so register early. And the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters have paired up with the Wisconsin Rapids PD, Stevens Point PD, and other local emergency services to host National Night Out at Witterfield on Tuesday, August 6th. From 3 to 6 p.m., Witterfield and its surroundings will host a plethora of police and fire displays. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow into Thursday. Otherwise, it's going to be partly cloudy, warm, and very humid. Our high today in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, 68. Tomorrow, highs in the upper 80s to near 90 with a heat index in the mid 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Beth and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We've got some good stuff on the way for you, everybody. We're going to get into the top mental loads, tasks moms handle, dads ignore. Also, the most outdoor and least outdoor friendly cities in the U.S. Got those coming up. Some good stories of the day. We're going to wrap up talking about local events and local things going on as well. But we kick off with some entertainment news, and we are the home of Dolly Parton news.
Oh, absolutely.
We have to cover anything involving Dolly, even Dollywood. And on Sunday, Dollywood theme park experienced crazy floods due to violent weather in eastern Tennessee. Guests were seen wading through waist-high water and mud to escape the park. Luckily, only one minor injury was reported, but if you look at some of the pictures and videos of the flood, it's amazing that everyone was okay. One person tweeted, quote, "I was at Dollywood today, and it was like Old Testament." props to the Dollywood FD for leading us to our cars like Batman.
Wow.
They got a good staff over there.
Yes, they do.
A staff that was, I don't know if they could have been ready for this necessarily, but they handled this really well. And some person even was able to buy a ticket after the flooding had begun. Believe it or not, they didn't. That didn't stop the park from opening yesterday after sustaining 5 inches of flash flooding the day before. Dollywood can take a licking and keep on going. Not too surprising, given its namesake and everything.
Absolutely.
But now, I don't bring this up with you, Beth, because of the Old Testament reference. I couldn't help that.
Sure,
But you, more to, I think, the point of the story, you've worked at a theme park
I
before.
I have, yes.
You worked at Disneyland, was it?
World.
Disney World.
Florida, yeah.
I apologize.
That's
I know
okay.
There's a difference. I never remember the difference of those two or anything.
Land is in California.
Oh, okay.
And World is in Florida.
Oh, I can remember that. Oh, okay. Well, thank you for explaining it that
You're
way.
Welcome.
That's why I can remember that. But this is, I'm not going to put you on the spot or anything, but is part of your training or anything like how to prepare if a disaster happens or something like that, especially if you were in Florida,
yes,
where they got all kinds of crazy weather and everything?
Yes,
there
is some training that is involved. So because especially in Florida with hurricanes that come through, there is hurricane preparedness and watch. So they'll put people in certain places, mostly indoors, mostly sheltered, very sturdy structures if something strong is going to be coming through. Those cast members, that's what we call them at Disney, knew their stuff. They mm-hmm. probably had some training with that. And if I know Dolly, she'll probably try to do something to make it up to those that to leave because of the weather.
There will be a follow-up to this story.
Oh, absolutely.
I guarantee that. And you're absolutely right about that. I think that's fascinating to hear because, like a lot of people that I've never been to an amusement park. And then secondly...
Well, James, we need to change that, first of all.
Yeah. I do want to change that. Just to experience it. Just to at least have the experience, let alone it does look like a lot of fun.
Yes.
But I think most of us, when we think of park workers, you know, especially those in costumes and everything, it's kind of, oh, well, that's their gig. But there's just like any other job, there's layers to that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's interesting.
Absolutely. Those that help the characters, you go through a specific training to be able to do that so that you know the right way to move, the right signature to have, those kind of things. And there, with Disney in particular, you go through 2 days of just orientation of what the company is, what it stands for, what the expectations are. So it's not just that they hire you and the next day you're doing one of the rides. It's you have to go through training to know what you're doing, to know the safety aspects as well. Anybody that works in attraction at one of those theme parks has been trained on how to safely evacuate that ride if something were to happen.
That's really interesting, and I think gives us a little more depth to those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully a little more respect for the people doing those jobs,
yes,
too.
Kind.
Yeah. That's really cool. Thank you for that, Beth. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Travis Barker isn't just sharing the good vibes of overcoming his understandable fear of flying, but he raised some money, too, while he was at it. This is one of my favorite things, when people can get over something or get through something, I should say, while also helping out others.
Absolutely,
do so.
Yep.
Travis sold a personal boarding pass for $8,000. It was from a flight earlier this year when he went from Sydney to Perth, Australia, on a commercial flight. It also featured a handwritten message that said, "I know I got angels watching over me." It's unclear who the lucky buyer is. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to Lost But Not Forgotten, a teen adoption agency that helps families in need. And speaking of a one-of-a-kind sales, the infamous gold bikini worn by Princess Leia in the Star Wars movie, Return of the Jedi, sold for over $175,000 at auction.
Wow.
The auction also included a Y-Wing model used on screen during the final battle of A New Hope. Oh, that's the one. That's what I would have wanted to own. The miniature sold for $1.6 million, making it the third most expensive Star Wars prop ever sold at auction.
Yeah, if you think you're going to get into that thing, good luck.
You're right.
It's a lot smaller than what you think.
I don't know if I want it anymore. These are always kind of interesting to me, to see these props and different things that are sold. But I do love when they're able to do something like, for those that don't know, Travis Barker survived a plane accident and barely. And obviously had a traumatic effect from it.
Oh, yeah.
Really struggled with flying after that. And as a musician, that's pretty tough, you know, touring wise and everything. So good on him and anybody that can break through a phobia.
Yes.
I think a lot of us know more of what that's like than Cher. I have, I don't know if I mentioned it much on the air, but I had a phobia of driving for a good 30 years of my life. I was in my early 30s when I finally got my driver's license. Where I was from in the city, you used public transportation.
Right.
So that's just kind of what I always grew up with, you know, the L train and Amtrak and some of that stuff. And then, I was in a lot of car accidents as a little kid, and I told you about my Aunt Pat earlier and some of those incidents. My uncle, who I never got to meet, he was killed by a drunk driver when he was three. And I heard about this my whole life. I have always been told he is my guardian angel, my Uncle Anthony. And boy, have I made him work. So I broke through that phobia of driving, and I drive now all the time, don't have any issue with it or anything like that. But I never take lightly that that could be taken away from me again.
Right.
And that independence and that freedom of that and everything. Anybody that breaks through a phobia, like, more power to you. And just know that if you are struggling with one, when you are ready, if you are ready, you can do that too.
Absolutely. Well, and a lot of our phobias come from our trauma. And so being able to deal with the trauma and look at it head on in a safe way can help you move miles beyond it.
Yeah.
And I give credit to anybody who's willing to claim, you know, this was a traumatic experience that I need to work through.
Yeah, yeah. Facing yourself can be one of the hardest things to do, but it can be one of the most rewarding things as well. There will be a time when bands make a comeback on mainstream news music charts and everything, but it's not happening right now. Someone put together a chart called The Slow Death of Bands, and it documents the number of bands mentioned on the year-end Billboard Hot 100 charts from the year 2000 up to last year. And in 2000, 29 bands made the chart, and in 2001, 32 did. That was the peak. From then until 2014, the fewest bands in a single year was 11 in 2008.
Wow.
Since in the 10 years since, there would that would be a good number. 2016 and 17 both had 12 bands, but that was the max over the span of 2022. There were just three, and last year there were just two bands that made the top 100. Otherwise, it was all solo artists.
Yeah.
One of them was a country band, Old Dominion, a very good band. And other was Wham with Last Christmas.
I love it. A band from the 80s. Gotta love it.
It's crazy. And while this isn't something that's necessarily groundbreaking news or shocking or anything, I do think that it's a little surprising.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about this one bit.
Well, think about our childhoods. That's when bands were big.
Yeah.
You looked to bands. You didn't look to solo artists. That was kind of the outlier. And it's completely done a 180.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of rhyme and reason to this, I imagine, but part of it is also so much of the way you get discovered as a musician now has changed. Whether we're talking about music competitions on TV or TikTok and having a minute video or a 2 minute video and that being your song. Songs are even shorter now because of that. I don't know. All of this comes together and leads to this, where you've got a lot more people just kind of being their own act instead of being in with a band.
Right.
But everything in music is no different than fashion. Everything will come back around.
Oh, yeah.
So we will see bands come back and make a comeback and everything. I'm curious of when that'll happen and what'll happen in between then, and if they will be able to knock Wham out of the top 100.
When it becomes a novelty again, because we like novelty. So when we're so used to only having solo artists, that having a band is something new, that's when it'll start to become popular again.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. Looking at new on your small screen tonight, Olympic highlights with Kevin Hart and Kenan Thompson start at 6 on Peacock.
I wish I had Peacock. That just sounds hilarious.
There's a part of me that has really thought about getting it just because of the Olympic coverage, I'll be honest. A shout out to NBC, too, who always finishes fourth in the ratings and all of that. Mm-hmm. The Olympic coverage that they have been doing has been fantastic.
Yes.
But what is more fantastic is the viewership. The incredible viewer, like in droves, they're talking double, triple the numbers that they have had in previous Olympics. This is like there's something about this Olympics, and maybe it's because of the last summer games being preempted with COVID and all of that. I don't know, but it's been really like nobody saw this coming, that everybody was going to be paying attention to the Olympics. We talk about the Olympics,
right?
But not everybody watches them.
Right.
This year, people are watching them. All of these events are doing well. Like, you know, events that you wouldn't think anybody are watching are doing incredible numbers.
Yeah. And I wonder if part of it is the divisiveness that we feel in our country right now, that this is something that can bring us all together. No matter what side of the coin we are politically, we all claim being an American and to be able to celebrate what America can do and the pinnacle of athleticism that is involved with the Olympics.
The numbers are showing more and more as we go on here, including the latest data from the AP and even other numbers that you're seeing. America is tired of the divisiveness.
Oh, yeah.
We are tired of it. It doesn't mean that we're all going to hold hands and sing kumbaya, but it does mean that we're done with the whole disrespect. We're done with the whole divisiveness. It's enough is enough. That is a pop song that was cool like a couple years ago, but now we're kind of like, oh man, I've heard that enough. That song's done. I don't want to hear that song anymore. We're done with the divisiveness. We want, we are looking for leadership out of our politicians.
Yes.
And leadership is not dividing. No good leader has ever divided people. Good leadership brings people together. Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking for going forward. That's what our country needs.
Yeah, you can disagree without hating each other.
Yeah, yeah.
It is possible.
Primetime Olympic coverage kicks off at 7 on NBC. Today's events include women's gymnastics finals, men's water polo, and men's soccer. Celebrity Family Feud is on at 7 on ABC if you're looking for something different. And those are kind of what's your new program. Not a lot of new programming, not only because of summer, right, but nobody wants to compete against the Olympics.
Right. Well, and you get to watch Simone Biles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which makes me happy.
And Suni Lee, who is also now, and she, I think, was the last gold medalist for the women's all-around. And now she actually gets to compete if Simone is healthy again. She had an issue with her calf during the qualifiers.
By all accounts, right now, it looks like she will be competing, but you're right. It is something to keep an eye on. And with a hammy, any football fan will tell you, hamstring injuries, you just don't know. It could be a week, could be months. You know, you just don't know how long that can mess with you. The hamstring is such a tricky injury. Your boys of summer, the Rafters, are back in action tonight in Wausau to take on the Woodchucks at 6:20.
All right.
It's going to be a good one. And integral games as we are trying for a playoff push here to get into the playoffs. They're the top team, so that's what you want to do. You can create your own destiny here, beating these teams and getting yourself in.
Yes.
We will be back at home tomorrow night at 6:20 at Witterfield. And not only will we have a playmakers for you tomorrow to lead you into it, a perfect tailgate to into the game, but Wednesday is also Christmas in July at Winterfield.
I'm going to be there.
Yeah? Good. Right on. Good. This is going to be a fun one. Join Beth and the gang. You can. So Santa's going to be there. They're going to have some celebrating Christmas down there. It's also Winning Wednesday. If the Rafters win on a Wednesday home game, fans that stick around until the final out will receive a voucher for a free bleacher seat game.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool. Check that out, everybody.
It's just a fun atmosphere. If you haven't gotten to a game, come to the game. It's just a fun thing to do.
Our Rafters have a big first couple weeks of August lined up, too, as the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters organization is looking to honor several promotions that will help us celebrate some of the heroes in this special community. We'll get into more of those as we get closer to August here, right around the corner. But some great events coming up, including the National Night Out going along with our Rafters. Rafters on Tuesday, August 6th. Find out more about that and get your tickets for Rafter Baseball at northwoodsleague.com. And, of course, every hit, every pitch of Rafter Baseball right here where it belongs at WFHR if you happen to miss anything. Again, northwoodsleague.com is the website. Be sure to check it out there, everybody. We'll take a time out. We'll come back, and we're going to get into these top mental loads. Tasks moms handle, dads maybe not so much. Coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Why choose the water park capital of the world for a grown-up getaway? It's all there. Entertainment is there. Nightlife is there. Shopping, spas, and wineries are there. Been there, done that? More like been there, still haven't done that, that, or that. Golf? Hey, nice swing you got there. Dining? You'll be seated right over there. Zip lining? Hang in there! See what I did there? Wisconsin Dells. See you there. Go to wisdells.com and start planning your grown-up getaway today.
WFHR invites you to join David Farmbrough of Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. The next show is coming up and we'll be talking about topics that matter to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So if you're looking forward to welcoming David Farmbrough to the show and taking your questions, be sure to tune in every second Tuesday of the month right here on your locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Hello, doorman, I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow into Thursday. Otherwise, it's going to be partly cloudy, warm, and very humid. Our high today in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, 68. Tomorrow, highs in the upper 80s to near 90 with a heat index in the mid 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Beth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us. Got an interesting topic here to dive into, Beth.
Okay.
We've all heard the term mental load. It's not just doing chores, but keeping track of it all. And moms are shouldering way more of it than I think a lot of us even realize.
What?
Yeah, I know
they are?
This is going to be breaking news to you, Beth.
Shocking.
It's going to be very interesting. A new study asked 322 moms who's handling more of the mental load when it comes to 30 common household tasks.
Okay.
And they said they're handling the majority of it and for 29 of them. Here are the top 10 tasks moms say they're keeping track of way more than dads are.
All right, keep in mind this is only 322 moms, so it's a very small sample size.
I think that's a good note, especially a lot of these that we do and thousands of people and everything surveyed. Mm-hmm. So it is a smaller list, but it can still maybe give us some insight
right,
into this.
Absolutely, some trends.
Medical stuff, like remembering your kids' doctor and dentist appointments. Yeah.
Yep. When mom was away one time, a dentist appointment got missed in our household. Mm. So hasn't happened since.
Right.
So we can learn and grow.
Right. Yes, exactly. Paying attention to their mental health. Yes. And I think what they're saying here is not just their own, but obviously their families and stuff. That's something that we all got to take the task of. But that's a newer one, I think, in some ways. Tidying up.
Yeah. That stereotypically, yeah, it's usually mom doing that.
Yeah.
Or creating the chore chart to make sure it gets done.
I will say I learned a lot from my dad in this one because my dad was a pickup. He picked stuff up a lot. He was always doing that. So I think that kind of I inherited a lot of that.
Well, and I think it depends on what the expectations are coming into a marriage. You know, having
good
that
point.
Being part of my job. I'll use Seth and I as an example. When we decided to get married and we went through our premarital counseling and we're looking at our marriage, we looked at it as a partnership. It wasn't that, well, the wife always does this thing and the husband always, we said, where we're going to work together to make sure everything gets done. Now, that may mean that sometimes I do more, means sometimes he does more. We both change diapers. We both do meals. We both clean up. So it's we both do laundry. Yes, I married a man that does laundry. I love that. So it depends on how you view the roles of each. But yeah, typically, if you look at traditionally what has been, these are things that women just are more, and I think it's because of it's a societal expectation.
Oh, yeah.
This is what the woman's supposed to do.
And I think we've gotten better about that. There's still work to be done in that front. There is no side effect to this.
No.
There's no downside to this. If your kids, like growing up seeing my father doing dishes or picking up around the house, I didn't think any differently of him. I didn't think, I thought, if anything, well, maybe that's not true. I actually thought he was more of a man.
I actually thought
that was more manly of him, because I also grew up watching him beating another man's face in a boxing ring, or shredding around the ice and slamming people up against the boards and stuff. That was just as manly to me as him seeing him helping our family when my mom was at work or something like that. There's and the empathy it creates. This is for kids as well as for significant others. If you've never done the dishes, if you've never done the laundry, give it a chance, see what it's like, and you have not only a little more empathy but a little more understanding of what your partner is doing. So bringing stuff with you when you go out, like remembering the diaper bag. That is, I've been guilty of that one. Back when I was married, that was one that I did. There was something. There was something to bring. Now, hang on a second, JC. Hang on. I'll play with you for in a second. Just there was something. Oh, diaper bag. I've done
the best was when the boys got to be toddler age and they now make these like mini backpacks. We would just have them carry their own diapers.
Oh, yeah.
In the backpack with weights.
Nice. Oh, that's the way to do it. That's good. They got backs. They can carry. They're younger. they got fresh bodies. They can carry.
Then they feel like they're older. You know, they see everybody else having a backpack and now they have their own and now it's useful.
There is something about a little kid feeling a grown up.
Absolutely.
That is just adorable. That is always, it never fails. Extracurriculars, but not including sports, things like piano lessons and some of those things.
Just keeping the family calendar. I mean, that's usually the mom's job, is to be the hub and say, okay, who's doing what when? What do we need to do? Who do I need to make sure gets where?
Their social life, including play dates and things. Again, the calendar, keeping track of your shared calendar. Like a lot of calendar. You ain't kidding. A lot of calendar stuff. Packing lunches. Helping with homework. I would say the helping with homework thing, I grew up where both parents were both equally helpful on that one.
Well, and it's figuring out what they're good at.
That's it. Yes. Like, you don't go to my dad for history. Jimmy, some stuff happened. I'm telling you, it was crazy over there. Whereas with math, you can go to him with any math problem. He's a human calculator.
Well, and then as they get older, it's what kind of math? Like in our house, I'm the algebra. Seth is the geometry. We've figured this out, so now the boys know who to go to for which.
Good to know before they really get into those classes in high school and everything. And extracurriculars that are related to sports. And here's a couple of other ones where bath time, potty training, babysitting, meals, laundry, groceries, so many of these things. Getting your kids ready for school, helping in the middle of the night. The only task dads carry most of the mental load is taking out the trash. Most moms agree dads also handle a good amount of the mental load when it comes to fixing things around the house, paying bills, doing dishes, helping at bedtime, and taking care of the pets. But moms estimate that overall they're handling 73% of the mental load, where dads are handling 27%. I think it takes both parties to really, truly raise a household. And both have their equal parts and their equal place. But I think when it comes to those last numbers we're seeing there, Beth, I go to a little bit of what you were just talking about with you and Seth. And my own parents were very much the same way. Both sets of my grandparents were the same way, where there was no, that's her job or that's his job. There were things that you were good at. And so, of course, it was your task. You know, my grandmother was good with bills, so she was in charge of those a little more or something like that. And it has nothing to do necessarily with the sexes or societal things. More so, you're just really good at this. I'm going to let you do that. And while I'm doing this, you can take care of this. And being a true team.
Right. Well, and if you think about even sports team, you play to your strengths, right? You put the right person in the right position because that's what they're good at. Look at the Olympics with Steve on the pommel horse. Yeah. That was, he's a specialist, and that's the only thing he focuses on. But it's really a matter of we're all a part of the family. So we all need to make sure. And we're starting to teach that to our boys. And when you have kids as they grow older saying, because my boys, well, I didn't do that. And I have to look at them and say, well, I often don't do a lot of things that I have to clean up for. But it's a part of being the family. We all need to take care of each other.
Every little kid thinks, I didn't make the mess is the end of the argument. And the look on their face when they say it, they feel like they came up with the perfect answer. They're so defiant, like, I didn't make the mess, so I don't have to clean. They start walking away like, oh, hold up. Actually, that's part of being in a society, let alone this house. I'm a believer of we live in the greatest democracy in the world. And I'm a lover of democracy, and I believe in democracy. I believe the forefathers had it right when they came here to start something that wasn't about making kings and queens or dictators. Be wary of anybody who wants to be a dictator in America. That seems like a pretty bad thing. It seems like the most un-American thing that we can think of. Now, in a household, that's a little bit different. I think I'm okay with dictatorships in households. Listen to your constituents. Yeah. You listen to your family and everything. But I'm okay with mom or dad kind of like laying down the law.
Well, there's
here.
A huge difference because in the household, parents have to make sure that the child stays alive.
Right.
In a way that with voting, that's not the case. It's more about how we govern and live with each other. But I have to say, the one that kind of caught me with moms is in the middle of the night thing. I think it depends on what parent the child feels more comfortable with. Yeah. Because our youngest in the middle of the night goes to dad. Not mom.
All my kids inherited my insomnia, inherited my nocturnalness, and this was where I took over more. Like, I was working during the day a lot of the time with my two youngest, and at night, Mandy would, that was when she caught up on sleep.
Right.
So I was up with them at night quite often. I was just the go-to with that. We didn't even, at a certain point, and we weren't together that long, but even at a certain point, it was kind of like, oh, baby monitor's going, I just get up and go, if I wasn't already up.
Right.
This was, and to your point, I think I'm sure there's a lot of houses like that. I imagine my own parents had the tag team in and out every once in a while because, man, I was not an easy kid. That's an interesting list. Yeah. Hopefully gets people to think a little bit more about these things and maybe even start doing some other stuff around the house or at the very least seeing, hey, you need a hand with that?
Just kind of reevaluate. What are we each doing? What do we need to share?
Mm-hmm. We're going to get to some local and state news, take care of some partners. When we come back, we're talking about the most and least outdoorsy cities in America. We'll get into that when we come back with Beth and James on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's Education Department is releasing its youth mental health data update today. Many kids say they're anxious or nervous, and it got worse during the pandemic. State Superintendent Jill Underley says schools should offer more mental health services. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting about $1.3 million. The money will go to everything from wetland protection to outdoor education and even kayak launches. This is Governor Evers in a recent weekly radio address.
Unfortunately, many of these communities have also experienced shoreline erosion, flooding, pollution, and everyday harmful effects of climate change and more.
Wisconsin has about 800 miles of coastline. Evers says it's a critical resource for Wisconsin culture and commerce. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The 156th annual Wisconsin Valley Fair at Marathon Park in Wausau is this week. On Monday, crews put the finishing touches on the grandstand, food vendors, and exhibition areas. And when it comes to the grandstand, Jason Entertainment Group, based out of Hendersonville, Tennessee, takes the task on. Coming up here for the last 50 years now and helping, it's all hands on deck. With a new hydraulic stage, less manpower is needed. Jason Entertainment Group is also in charge of talent acquisition for the fair. And once the performers arrive, the look of the stage set may change. Night Ranger is set to perform tonight, with Low Cash taking the stage tomorrow, followed by Gabby Barrett on Thursday. And in West Allis, the Wisconsin State Fair is just around the corner as carnival rides are set up. Rigorous ride inspections follow. 10 state inspectors scrutinize the electrical and mechanical components this week, double-checking things that could hurt riders. The fair starts on August 1st and runs through August 11th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot.
The Brewers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Trade deadline coming up tonight, and the Brewers sending outfielder Joey Weimer and pitcher Jacob Junis to the Reds for right-hander Frankie Montas. 9 years in the big leagues, 19 starts this year for Cincinnati, an ERA that started out at 3.56 but has risen into the fives. Meanwhile, just as the crew gets back Devin Williams as the closer, Trevor McGill goes on the 15-day IR. Manager Pat Murphy.
Breaking news, Trevor McGill on the IL. Lower back. He's been dealing with it for about 5 days. He'll get an MRI this afternoon. That's the way the cookie crumbles, man.
Brewers last night with a nice 8-3 win at home over the Braves. Home runs by Hoskins, Adames, Churio. NFL Packers back on the practice field today in Green Bay. The Badgers football team begins training camp for the next 2 weeks at UW Platteville.
Well, I think it's first and foremost, it's about getting away. To really get them to, you know, get to know each other and a lot of things even a little deeper.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's gummied up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Teach Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome host of the music podcast Rock Solid, Pat Francis, and Madison stand-up comic Mike Mercury joins the show to discuss Madison Comedy Week.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow into Thursday. Otherwise, it's going to be partly cloudy, warm, and very humid. Our high today in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, 68. Tomorrow, highs in the upper 80s to near 90 with a heat index in the mid 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Beth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us. Get your boogie on.
Oh, yeah.
A little disco for you. Some hot stuff. We appreciate the company, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Especially if you're an outdoors type and you brought your radio with us. We appreciate that.
That's awesome.
A lot of people think that you need to venture out into the middle of nowhere to enjoy the, quote, outdoor lifestyle. Because let's face it, you aren't experiencing any outdoors by vacationing in Times Square. But that's... I think that there's layers to this.
Mm-hmm.
You can certainly get out an outdoor experience like I think we got a good example here in Wisconsin. You can go to Lake Wasecha or one of our great campsites here in central Wisconsin, have a great time, be outdoors. And then there's a difference of doing that and going way up north and camping and doing some things. I say this as somebody who has never camped, but I'm talking about the kids I grew up around and everything and them talking about this and stuff. So it's not me necessarily saying this, but what I've heard. Please feel free to correct me or add to the conversation at 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation.
Please.
The company RV Share just released a report on the most and least outdoor friendly American cities. And they only included the metropolitan areas with at least 1 million people. So that included 52 areas. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
And the rankings were determined based on 13 factors, including public parks and land, types of outdoor activities, nights people spend RVing, camping and glamping, natural-based spaces, membership in outdoor groups, outdoor-friendly views, and the access to trails and wilderness.
Okay.
And in the end, Seattle was named the most outdoor-friendly city.
That's wonderful.
It's kind of interesting and pretty cool.
Yeah.
Denver was a close second, followed by Grand Rapids, Michigan, Miami, Portland, Oregon, Nashville, San Francisco, Richmond, Virginia, Los Angeles, and Charlotte, North Carolina. Of the 52 cities they considered, Houston came in dead last.
Huh.
The 10, well, let's focus on the friendly ones first.
Right.
And I'll pull up this entire list to see if any Wisconsin cities are on here.
I don't think we have any Wisconsin cities that are over a million people.
No, I don't think so. So, I think that that's...
So Wisconsin was out of the running.
Oh, wait though.
Wait.
Yeah, I do see a Wisconsin city on the list, so we'll get to that in a second. But again, as far as the top 10 friendliest, quote unquote friendliest ones, according to the RV Share website and this list they put together... Mm-hmm. You got Seattle, Denver, Grand Rapids, Miami? Like, I didn't. that threw me a little bit. I got to be honest.
Things that make you go,
Yeah, I've got some friends in the Miami area, and I've never spent any time in Florida.
Right.
But I've talked to people almost my whole life that are from that area or living there currently.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing that I hear about Miami is the metropolitan part of things and the city part of things.
Right, but they are right in the Everglades.
Yeah, yeah. And to that, I also don't know if I've heard any of those people I've talked to not mention the Everglades or being out on a boat in the water or the swamps or as a kid going and exploring the Everglades. There are a lot of similarities there with some stuff that you can count to out here in the Midwest.
I think you would have to do the more RVing thing than the tent camping thing because the alligators.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
You kind of want to survive your trip.
Feels like a good idea.
Yeah.
Feels like, you know, put that on the to-do list. Survive.
Survive. Live through this experience.
Yes. Add that to your to-do list. And Los Angeles stood out a little bit to me, too. That was a little interesting one. Now, I will say I know a lot of people from the L.A. area that spend a lot of time in Northern California, which is very different than Southern California, of course. Very similar to this state, you know. That was interesting to me. Now, let's take a look at the least friendly.
Okay.
The top 10 least friendly, outdoor-friendly cities are Rochester, New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, Detroit, Buffalo, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Fresno, California. It is interesting to me to see Milwaukee on that list.
Wait, didn't they say one of the qualifiers was at least a million people?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess there might be a million in Milwaukee. I didn't quite see that, to be honest. I didn't see that one. But yeah, Milwaukee finished way towards the bottom of this one. And Minneapolis, Minnesota was 17 as far as like cities in our area here. Columbus, Ohio, 26. Cincinnati, Ohio, 27. Chicago at 29. So
middle of the pack.
Yeah, yeah. And more towards in the top bottom 10, you've got Milwaukee in there. So that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
I wonder how much that has to do with RV sales and that. Because as far as I know, plenty of Milwaukee people like to get out and do country stuff and everything. But as far as like having an RV in the city, you don't have a lot of that.
Right. And I don't know that there's any space in the Milwaukee area that has RV camping kind of thing. I think you have to go pretty far out.
Yeah. Looking at this. this list, that was one of the deterrents to it. And again, this is coming from an RV company. So, of course, that's going to play into the factors of this and everything. The report says that 57% of Americans still crave more time outside and do not feel like they get enough time in nature. So maybe that's something to the next time they do this, we can change those numbers.
Right.
I don't know anybody who lives in the country who doesn't like to get to the city every once in a while. And I don't know anybody who lives in the city who does not want to get out and camp and get out and outdoors a little bit. Hiking is a big one in the city where I'm going to go. I'm going to go a little south in Illinois and go to this camp area and go hiking or something like that. I grew up hearing a lot of those stories. And here in the state of Wisconsin, we have a lot of this where people in Madison or Milwaukee or Appleton or some of those more metro, La Crosse is another example, traveling up north. You know? How many of us grew up around here or lived around here for a good amount of time and know somebody who has a cabin up north or something like that?
Well, and even if you don't have your own cabin, it, like KOAs, most KOA campgrounds have cabins there too. So if that's the type of camping you want to do, you can always get a cabin at a KOA. Or if you want to do the tent camping thing and really rough it, you can bring your tent and sleep on the ground.
I know what a KOA is, but just for the audience's sake, Beth, you know, just for them, because they probably don't. I don't know what that is. What is a KOA?
A KOA is it's a national chain of campgrounds.
Oh, okay.
So it's like renting a campground here in the area, but it's a national chain, and a lot of states have them. And it when you go camping, it costs less. So it's like getting, especially if you get one of the cabins, and there's one out in Oakdale that we were looking at. Some of their cabins even have a half bath or a full bath. So it really is like getting your own cabin in the woods. And it's about the same, if not a little bit less, than getting a hotel room for overnight.
Nice.
So it's a less expensive way of finding a place to stay, especially if you're traveling or if you want to, you know, do a road trip somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like that. Oh, that sounds really interesting. We are going to get to a timeout. Our last timeout of the show. We'll come back. We'll get into our schedule. Got some local events that we want to touch on and some good stories of the day to get to. All of that coming up on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
To everyone making time for life's best moments, let our team member Sandy share how Culver's is serving up celebration by the scoop.
Our rich and creamy fresh frozen custard makes every day a little bit sweeter. Enjoying a handcrafted treat with all the ooey gooey toppings you love, now that's worth celebrating.
Come to Culver's and let us serve you a sweet treat to make every moment count.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first items displayed at the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau. And in 1868, you could buy and sell those goods, too. Today, it's considered one of the best fairs in the state. Big-name entertainments included with your admission. And you're invited to the Civic Media Truth Booth. Share your thoughts about the fair, living in the Wausau area, and more. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs July 30th to August 4th in Wausau. Enjoy. I'm Terry Barr.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow into Thursday. Otherwise, it's going to be partly cloudy, warm, and very humid. Our high today in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, 68. Tomorrow, highs in the upper 80s to near 90, with a heat index in the mid-90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Welcome back, everyone.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay.
We hope you're having a great Tuesday out there. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour, get into our schedule in a moment, let you know what's coming up on our programming today in Rafter Baseball. But we haven't gotten to do a That Ain't Right story in a while, Beth.
Okay.
And this one I thought was kind of unique. Now, you and my daughter actually share something in common you both like to, you both are able to preside over weddings.
Okay. Yep.
And it's something Bria really loves to be able to do as part of being a part of somebody's special day. Yeah. And you and I have talked about it before, and it means a lot to you as well.
Absolutely.
I think that's always unique. But something you touched on earlier as far as you and Seth in a marriage class before you
premarital
got married.
Premarital counseling, yes.
That kind of thing. Maybe this couple could have used that. If you're planning on getting married, but you're interested in having a prenup, it's probably a good idea to hash that out early rather than springing it on the other person at the last minute.
Yeah.
A 26-year-old woman in Florida named Molly was arrested Sunday night after attacking her fiancé during a heated argument over a prenup. The groom-to-be told the police that Molly grabbed him around the head and struck him a couple of times, and Molly bit him and stuff. This all started because he brought up a prenup like the day of the wedding.
What?
Like hours before the wedding and everything, he's bringing this up. And apparently it was something that he's wanted to talk about for a while and just kept on pushing off and pushing off. And in his logical brain, he thought, well, she's going to agree because she's not going to call off the wedding or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This man not only does not know women, does not know people. The wedding was supposed to be this Saturday, July 27th. It's unclear if they had called it off, or because this was the pre-wedding, or what you call it,
wedding rehearsal.
Yes, this was the wedding rehearsal. He did this, and there are no word if they called it off or not. The wedding registry is still online, but that doesn't mean anything. There is one small problem though: to an active restraining order. Molly was arrested for battery and booked and released, and a judge ordered her to have no contact with her prospective future husband or brother-in-law. So that could be an odd wedding.
Yeah, I'm guessing
she's
that.
On Zoom.
Yeah, no, yeah.
She's on Zoom doing the wedding, doing the nuptials and everything. Like, that ain't right, man.
No.
That ain't right. And that's all on him. Like, I know she was the guilty party here, and she should not have handled it with violence or anything.
Exactly.
I'm not okaying that.
Yeah.
But none of that happens if he's not a knucklehead.
You would think that if you were getting married, you would know how to have conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're difficult conversations.
Yeah.
You should be able to talk to each other.
I would never presume, especially as somebody with my background and past, to tell other people about love or anything. But maybe this is a silver lining.
That could have been a red flag right there.
This might be easier than a divorce. Let's get a palate cleanser in and get to our schedule and some good stories of the day. And we got a great one lined up for you throughout the whole day today here at Civic Media. Coming up in just minutes is our great friends Jane and Greg with Matt and Air on Air.
Yes.
Be sure to join them for that. They take they don't shy away from anything, and they also don't shy away from the funny.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are going to have fun, are going to have a good time, and you do too as well, enjoying their show.
Yes.
Join us for a little bit later this afternoon for the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4. Maggie is one of the integral voices in radio, period.
Yes.
Not just here at Civic, but in radio. Not only is she one of the better brains you're going to hear on the air, but incredibly charming, funny, and I think an important word to my mother that she brought up with Maggie that I had not noted before. Maggie has tact.
Yes.
And we're sorely missing that a lot in society nowadays. Mm-hmm. And it may not seem like that big of a thing, but you all know what I'm talking about when I talk about tact. Mm-hmm. We all know people and have people in our lives that just like drop stuff or just say stuff. She has a way with words and a way of talking about these things where she's not talking down to anybody. She's informing people.
Yes.
Great show. Be sure to check that 2 to 4. And why not stick around? Because from 4 to 5, Monday through Friday, Midday Magazine.
Awesome.
We have a lot of fun on the show, and we got some great guests today. Stephen and Katrina Hittner from Family Natural Foods
always
joining
us. Always
a good
listen.
Love talking to our friends over at Family Natural Foods. And in part two, we're going to talk to St. Philip's about their Rudolph 103rd Church Picnic.
Wonderful.
This is taking place over at the Grotto. Anything about St. Philip's Church and Rudolph we're going to talk about, mm-hmm. we're going to cover today with Rich and Craig. Looking forward to diving into that with them, and especially a picnic that old,
yes.
103 years old. That
wow.
is really impressive. We talked about this a little bit earlier. We got Rafter Baseball back on the radio dial for you tonight. 6:20, the Rafters are in Wausau taking on the Woodchucks. An important game. Every one of these matter. Every game is a playoff game for the Rafters
yes.
going into the end of the season here. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, going to be hosting the Woodchucks at 6:20. Don't forget that it is Christmas in July at
yes.
Winterfield. Enjoy that, everybody.
Tell Santa what you want for Christmas this year is a win.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, get on that. And everybody be good so we can get it.
Yes.
And keep in mind as well, National Night Out at Winterfield will be Tuesday, August 6th. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to it. But a shout out to the Rafters and to our not only Wisconsin Rapids PD, but Stevens Point PD and other local emergency
yes.
services being a part of this great, important event.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to mention as well that we have the summer 2024 free meals for kids still going on. Free
Wonderful.
Meals will be available to all children 18 years of age and under. And right now they just have lunches available. And up until August 16th, you can go over to the Mead Park near the Splash Pad on 14th Avenue South from 11:30 to 12:30. And then at Winter Park near the shelter outside the Aquatic Center from until August 16th from 11:30 to 12:30. If you or somebody out there you know, a kid under 18 that is hungry or could use these meals, please spread the word about this.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make sure that we don't have one kid hungry in this city, in this area. Not one.
And chances are, if it's like in years past, because we haven't done it this year, but when we've done it in the past, they put so much food in there that you get to take stuff home with you so that you'll have snacks and things for the future.
I cannot speak to how important that is and mm-hmm. how much of an investment that is in our future, and how much I appreciate the people that work on that and do that. Big thank you to them. Big shout out to all of them.
Yes.
Beth, we touched on this earlier. I
yes.
want to remind everybody about the you guys taking books.
We're taking books through September 15th at the Moravian Church for the community book sale that will be happening in October. So we encourage you to bring those over. They can be gently used. We don't take magazines or anything like that, but any books that you have and all that, the proceeds go towards scholarships. We're also going to be having a rummage sale and a brat fry on August 17th. So when you come out to the farmer's market that Saturday, come check us out too. And one more event to get on your calendar, September 7th, the Grace Group, Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism, will be having our walk-off debt walk. This year we're going to be starting from the First Congregational UCC Church downtown on First Street South. So we encourage you to keep your eyes and ears open for that. More information will be coming out.
Looking forward to it. And again, you can find out more at wrmoravian.org. And be sure to go to YouTube, type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and subscribe to that page.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that, Beth.
Thank you.
Our Wisconsin Rapids City Band got two more shows for the summer,
wow.
everybody. Just two more. Take them both in at beautiful Robinson Park. Enjoy today. We want to send a big thank you to the sponsors, Village of Beeren and Domtar. Performance will be at 7:30. If there is bad weather, they will take this over to the PAC at Lincoln High School.
Okay.
So you can still take in the Wisconsin Rapids City Band. If you'd like to join the band, like to sponsor a concert, or just be a part of things or find out more, go to wrcityband.org, wrcityband.org. And a big
mm-hmm.
thank you to them giving us a great summer and
yes.
some great music. Our friends over at McMillan Memorial Library have a couple of great events coming up. Today, Laura Doherty is going to be there at 1 o'clock. Laura is a nationally touring children's performer, and she's an award-winning art recording artist. Laura is very talented, very funny. Your kids are going to really enjoy this. Be sure to check it out at 1 o'clock today at the McMillan Library Theater. And keep in mind that today and every Tuesday is baby story time at 10:30 in the children's area.
Yeah.
It's my mom's favorite thing to do. She loved doing that.
Yes.
Enjoy that. And also, McMillan has family story times Wednesdays at 9:30.
Okay.
And that is going on until this is the last month for it. So tomorrow is the last one for the time being. It's a summer activity that they do. And there's so much going on at our local library, our local hub. Find out more at McMillanLibrary.org, McMillanLibrary.org. Keep in mind as well, everybody, that we're still looking for school supplies for the United Way's Stuff the Desk Bus Collaborative. This is coming up where the cutoff of registration is August 1st.
Yeah.
So if you know of any families that could use these, please reach out to them. Make sure they know about this. Go to uwswac.org to sign them up or to get signed up.
Yeah, so that's this Thursday. So you've got till Thursday to sign up.
And we have Lunch by the River going on this Thursday as well. And it's all hands on deck as we are going to have all these supplies and we're literally stuffing the bus.
Yes.
We could use volunteers to help separate these supplies. And we certainly could still use supplies. So if you are picking up, maybe can grab an extra backpack or notebook or something like that. It is an investment in our future. It is investment in these kids and an opportunity to put back into your community. Mm-hmm. If you're wondering where to bring those items, you could drop them off at the United Way. Mm-hmm. Or you can drop them off here and I'll bring them over there. I don't mind. Just get us those right. supplies and we'll make sure they get in their hands.
We also have a bin at the Meridian Church, so you can drop it there too.
Yeah. And when the United Way is at Lunch by the River this Thursday, you could drop items off there as well. Find out more at uwswac.org and be sure to follow the United Way on social media. Wanted to look at a couple of world stories here, and there's a couple of really good ones to wrap up the show on. Washington officials will vote to remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list. The Washington gray wolf population was virtually eliminated in the 1930s, but there's been a significant rebound beginning in 2008, something that I think we can take some insight from here in Wisconsin. That's kind of cool to see and very interesting and unique. A bus driver in New York named Peter Warner is being praised after saving a toddler he saw walking down the middle of the street last month. The kid managed to sneak away while his dad was sleeping and his mom was at work. He was wearing a diaper and carrying an iPad. Peter scooped him up.
Aww.
That gets me. I'm glad that kid's okay. And shout out to that hero right there and Peter. And an 18-year-old girl in Canada saved 16 hikers and campers from a wildfire last week. Her name is Colleen Canull. She was working at her summer job at a resort, but she's also a volunteer firefighter and knew the area well and guided them all out on a four-hour hike in the middle of the night. She was able to do
that. Wow.
That's a hero right there.
Yeah.
That's an impressive young lady. You are an impressive young lady, Beth. We appreciate you. Thank you.